You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with my good pal Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vincent, how are you?
Jeff, I am doing well. Ready to talk about... I'll let you tell them what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the latest proposal or rumored proposal that the players' union is submitting back to the owners. The pace is picking up at least a little bit in the time between proposals. Not sure if they're getting any closer to an agreement, but we'll talk some more about that. And then we're going to talk about sandwiches and, you know, what sandwiches, there's a thing going on Twitter with different sandwiches. Why don't you identify them? And we're going to identify which sandwiches we wish were available at Dodger Stadium. And really, it's just an excuse to talk about which sandwiches look yummy to us. So that's the plan for today. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Vince, so the players are submitting a counteroffer to the owners that basically, I think it's, 79 games? 89 games, that's right. 89 games, which is 25 fewer than in their previous proposal, and 13, I don't remember, I'm getting all these proposals mixed up. It's more than what the owners wanted. It's less than in the player's previous proposal. But, of course, they are still proposing to actually get paid for all the games they play. Shocking, I know. And so because of that, there are talks that the owners will pretty quickly reject this one. But I don't know. What's jumped out at you about this player's proposal, Vince?
Yeah, I think for me it's just what are the players thinking is going to happen. Like, obviously they have to submit the proposal like this. But I honestly, you know, would like to know what the players and the union is thinking, because they keep submitting proposals, not wanting to, to get less money than they had already agreed to. And then the owners keep submitting proposals where they want to pay them less than what was agreed to. And, you know, it just seems like before we thought the middle ground might come in the number of games, you know, 114, 50, meet in the middle around 75, 80. But now they're kind of meeting in the middle on number of games, not meeting anywhere on how much money is going to be paid out. So it just feels like the inevitable thing is that they're going to play like a 50-game season that MLB kind of has in their back pocket and kind of forced the hand of players to play.
Yeah, one notable thing was that both the owner's proposal and the player's proposal list July 10th as opening day. I think Bill Shaken maybe oversold that on Twitter. I saw he said something about that they had agreed on July 10th, and really all they've done is they both put that in their proposal, so... I guess technically you could say they agree on that, but the fact is if they don't make an agreement on how many games they're playing, they're running out of time to for July 10th to actually be a realistic start date. I feel like I was reading Shaken's article and doing the math, and the player's proposal comes out to about $2.2 billion in player salaries. The owner's proposal is $1.76 billion in player salaries. That's a difference of $440 million, or $14.7 million per team. And that's really, when you boil it down, if every owner said, okay, of my billions of dollars, I am happy to lose this $15 million this year for the sake of baseball, then we would have baseball, and they could agree to it. even if they, why don't they just get in a room? Maybe they can't get in a room. Why don't they get on a Skype call and instead of trading these counter proposals, actually have a negotiation? I know they've had those conversations, but I just feel like neither side is interested in budging. And obviously, you know, you and I have our opinions on which side is right and which side is wrong. But, you know, just get it over with. If the players are never going to agree to take a further pay cut, they need to say that. We are never going to agree to this. And owners can say, okay, we are never going to agree to paying you that much. So here's what we're doing. It's just, I'm tired of the negotiations and the counter proposals and stuff. It's time to crap or get off the pot, as us people who don't swear say.
Yeah, at least they're getting, like I said, quicker in how much time they're getting to get back to each other. But at this point, you know, it doesn't seem like either side is budging. Get in the room. If you can't figure it out, let MLB do, you know, what they want to do and go from there. At this point, you already are starting to lose some fans anyways. I don't see there really being a saving grace because the owners don't want to pay the players the full prorated salary. So, like I said, get it going, figure it out, at least announce a date or announce something, get people to try to get excited about the year and go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. You have any final thoughts on this proposal, Vince?
No. I like the, you know, I'm glad the players are standing fit, but like I said the other day, it's just, you know, the one time they decide to stand strong, it's going to kind of end up messing with the fans and how many games we get to watch. But in the long run, it'll work out.
Yeah, I hope so. All right. We'll be back in a minute to talk about sandwiches, sandwiches we like, sandwiches we'd like to see at Dodger Stadium and stuff. I've been watching a lot of guys' grocery games, so I'm ready to talk about food. But first, let's talk about auto parts, specifically Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business that serves auto part customers online for 20 years. They have basically anything you could want, any auto part you could need for your car, whether you are a hardcore mechanic or just looking to do something simple like, I don't know, I almost said like replace a turn signal light, but I recently learned that that's not as simple as it seems sometimes. But whatever you need to do, RockAuto.com has the part you need. If you go to RockAuto.com to shop, you'll get a better price than pretty much anywhere you get. If you go to AutoZone or whatever auto parts store you like, chances are they're not going to have the part you need anyway. They're going to need to order it. So you might as well skip the middleman and pay less money by going to RockAuto because their prices are reliably low always. And you get the same price that the professional mechanics get at the auto parts store. When you go to rockauto.com, they have a little field that says, how did you hear about us? Be sure to write in Locked On so that they know that we are doing our part advertising for them on this podcast. And speaking of companies we advertise for on this podcast, let's talk about Built Bar, shall we? Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It tastes really, really good, has a ton of protein, just as much protein as the other protein bars, but the difference is Built Bar doesn't taste like garbage. Built Bar tastes like chocolate and deliciousness because that's what it is. And somehow, even though it tastes so much better, it's also healthier. Has less sugar, fewer carbs, more fiber. Just everything about Built Bar is better for you than any protein bar you could get on the shelves in the stores. So if you need protein bars, and let's face it, you do, even if you just need to curb your hunger, even if you're not trying to build muscle, you just want a healthy snack to eat during the day that'll help you, you know, lose weight, curb cravings or whatever, Built Bar is the one for you. All you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you will get $10 off your first order. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off. And keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right, Vince, it's draft week, as you know, and it's time for our obscure former Dodger. And I was just looking through some low round Dodgers draft picks, and one that jumped out at me that I don't think we've used as our obscure former Dodger before, but he was I wouldn't say one of my favorites, but he was a guy who I liked when I was growing up because he had the same first name as me, and that is Jeff Hamilton. He made his debut in 1986, which was kind of, you know, my first year of really, really paying attention. 1985 is my first real Dodgers memories, but 86 was the first year that I was really paying attention on a daily basis. That's when he debuted. And then in 88, he actually played a pretty big role for the Dodgers. Wasn't a starter, but he had 327 plate appearances for the world champion Dodgers. He wore number 33. And then when Steve Sachs left the Dodgers to go to the Yankees, Hamilton changed to number 3. And just, you know, he only played 6 years. His whole career with the Dodgers was never anything special. In fact, 1988 was the only year of his career that he had a WAR in the positive numbers. He was negative every other year, but he had 0.7 WAR in basically half a season's worth of plate appearances in 88. Was a contributor on offense and defense that year. And one of my favorite things about Jeff Hamilton is he, on his transactions section on his baseball reference page, he only has one transaction. Drafted by the Dodgers on June 7th, 1982, in the 29th round, and then no other transactions. He just, he was never, he was obviously released at some point, I guess, but it's not on baseball reference, and he just played with the Dodgers, and then he stopped playing. He his last year in the big leagues was 1991. He played about half a season in AAA in 1992, and maybe he didn't get released. Maybe he just retired. So, yeah, he got through his whole career without ever having a transaction other than being drafted, and I think that's kind of cool. So he's my obscure former Dodger. You have any Jeff Hamilton thoughts?
No, but that is pretty cool and interesting, and would imagine the list of guys like that, well, maybe now is more way lower. Maybe guys back in the day were probably a little more prominent.
Yeah. He was born on March 19th, 1964. That's also Clayton Kershaw's birthday. He's exactly 24 years older than Clayton Kershaw. So, all right, let's talk about sandwiches, shall we, Vince?
Yep.
There's a tweet going around, an old, I don't even know what this is from. Do you know what this is from?
I don't know. It just says Encyclopedia of Sandwiches. So.
Yeah, it looks like a clipping of an old newspaper or something, but it says Encyclopedia of Sandwiches. And the tweet says, identify yourself. There's 40 different sandwiches on here. We're not going to identify ourselves, but we're each going to, we're going to have a little draft, a meaningless draft. We're going to each pick 5 sandwiches, to keep it theoretically Dodgers related. Since it's a Dodgers podcast, we'll pretend that we're talking about sandwiches we wish we could get at Dodger Stadium. But at least my approach is sandwiches I want to eat right now. So, or that I like to eat. I guess I'm not really hungry for a sandwich right now, but that's the point of this draft. So Vince, since I'm hosting, why don't you go first?
I looked at this and, you know, we thought about maybe doing it matching players to sandwiches, but that has room to get a little messy. But I'll start messy on my own side and just go with a torta, you know, number 25 on this one. No real order, but it's just classic, you know. A torta is very, in, you know, at least here it says steak, beans, lettuce, tomato, avocado, cotija cheese. That's a, you know, pretty generic torta, but for at least me in our household, torta was pretty much any time it was a sandwich used on like the telera bread or the bolillo bread. So I'm going to go with the torta because it's all encompassing and can mean a lot of different things depending on how you came up.
Yeah, you just said a lot of words that I don't even know what they mean, Vince. You listed breads I've never heard of, and you pronounced torta different than I would have. Man, you and I come from different worlds, don't we?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, my first pick is also messy, which is funny because I actually don't like messy food. I've actually been known to eat pizza and hamburgers with a fork and a knife. But I love me a French dip sandwich, number 23. The concept of dipping your sandwich in juice to make it soggy sounds gross to me, but I sure do love a good French dip sandwich. That taste of that au jus sauce, just everything about a French dip just makes me happy. And because French dip is usually on kind of a crunchier roll, crunchy is maybe not right the right word, but a little bit harder, the dipping sauce, the au jus, is perfect for it because it softens up that bread just enough, gets a bunch of flavor into it, And yeah, it's just delicious. And you can do a lot of different things with a French dip. You could put other stuff on it. You know, a classic French dip is literally just roast beef on your roll, dipping in an au jus, but you can add stuff if you want to make it more like a cheesesteak or more like a, you know, throw in some veggies or whatever. But French dip is my first pick.
Yeah, French dip's a good pick, and you know, you got Philippe's right close to Dodger Stadium, so they could always bring that into the stadium, I guess, if they really wanted.
I've never had Philippe's. Should I do it?
Yes, you should. You know, it's maybe a little overpriced for what you get, but it is pretty good. So,
you know, I think one of the perks of adulthood is not worrying about how much you're paying. When we went to D.C. in December, and I was tweeting about Shake Shack, it was the first time I've ever had Shake Shack, and a bunch of replies were about how expensive it was. I didn't pay attention. I don't know. I wanted food, you know? Like, so, yeah, not like I'm rolling it. I'm not going to pay $150 for a sandwich, but I don't really notice the difference between an $8 sandwich and a $12 sandwich or whatever.
I mean, if I'm trying to place, yes, but if I'm going to go there consistently, if I'm not full and I pay, you know, over $15, I'm not going to go back there again.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah. All right, the next one, me, is really simple. Italian sub. You know, you can throw capicola, the salami, not pastrami, salami, pepperoni, mortadella, whatever you want. But, you know, the more meats for me you pile up, the better. Then, you know, just some nice bread, whatever else you want to throw on there. I'm good with a nice Italian sub anytime, any day of the week.
Yeah, you and I, it looks like we're going to have a little bit different tastes in sandwiches. Maybe we'll converge some too. But yeah, Italian sub doesn't do much for me. So I respect that though. I think my next pick, I don't know, there's a lot of sandwiches on here I like. I'm a big sandwich fan in general. I think my next pick is going to be number three, the pulled pork sandwich. A good pulled pork sandwich, it's one of those things, and this will actually be one of my later picks, will have a similar theme in that it has an ingredient that I do not like, but it's really good. I don't like coleslaw. Coleslaw reminds me of elementary school cafeterias, and elementary school coleslaw is not good, and I just don't like coleslaw. But I love coleslaw on a barbecue pulled pork sandwich. The bun's got to be nice and soft and just messy. If I made a pulled pork sandwich, it has to be at home or at least with a bathroom nearby, because I got to wash my hands when I'm done, because you got to eat this with your hands, and I can't stand having barbecue sauce on my hands. Barbecue pulled pork sandwich was a contender for number one on my list for sure.
Yeah, pulled pork is good. You know, the barbecue sauce kind of makes it sometimes, so you got to have good barbecue sauce. But yeah, coleslaw, I'll eat it separately, you know, without being on a sandwich, but definitely fits better on a sandwich.
The good thing about barbecue sauce is that it's kind of like lasagna, in that even bad lasagna is good. Even bad, there's so many different flavors of barbecue sauce, but I love them all. I've rarely had barbecue sauce that I didn't think, ooh, I like the way that tastes.
Yeah. All right. My next one feels a little bit cheating calling this a sandwich, because it's basically a burger, but a patty melt is maybe not. I'm trying to think if I like it more than a regular burger, but it's pretty close up there, especially when done right. Patty melt, you know, caramelized onions, ground beef patties, the toasted bread. If it's sourdough, even better. It's hard to beat a good patty melt for me.
Yeah, patty melts are, yeah, we definitely have different tastes. I'll take a good burger over a patty melt any day. Why can't I even find patty? What number is patty melt? 21. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I don't know. One of the things for me about a burger is the lettuce and tomatoes and pickles and everything just piled high. So a patty melt for me, it's like a burger, but not quite enough of a burger. So
a burger without a salad. That's why it's good.
Yeah. I respect that attitude. Now that you put it that way, I can get on board. All right. My next pick. I guess my next one, I'm going to go down to number 17 and the Reuben. And this is one that I was talking about earlier, going along with the coleslaw on the barbecue pulled pork sandwich. I do not like sauerkraut, but sauerkraut on a Reuben is something I had never had one until I was in my 30s probably. And somebody I was at lunch with got one time, and I looked, I'm like, that actually looks and smells really good. So the next time I went to that restaurant with my wife, I ordered the Reuben and I ate it, and holy crap, I loved it. Like, yeah. And you describe, you know, corned beef, this description here, corned beef, Swiss cheese, sauerkraut, Russian dressing, and it's on like marbled rye bread. None of that sounds good to me, but then you eat it and it's like, this is, I don't know what corned beef is. I don't know what that means, but I know it's delicious. I know what sauerkraut is. I don't like it, but I love it on a Reuben sandwich. It's just one of those things where the sum is greater than, or the whatever, it's greater than the sum of its parts. Anyway, a Reuben is delicious and I like it and I want one. Yeah, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Reubens are definitely good. Obviously I pretty much would like any of these sandwiches, maybe except like two that I wouldn't, you know, be fine getting. I'm going to go with the cheesesteak, and it's very rare to find good places with cheesesteaks, but when you do find a place with good cheesesteaks, it changes it. It makes it, obviously it's good, but, you know, kind of changes your perspective on it if you haven't had a good one before. I've had ones in Philly. Those are good. There's a couple places in LA that have some good ones. But yeah, Philly cheesesteak, the onions, the peppers, the cheese, just everything together, and you know, when it's right off the grill, fresh and hot, it's pretty hard to beat for me.
Yeah, cheesesteak's a great pick. It was definitely a contender for me. We actually have some decent cheesesteak places here in Utah. I've gotten some pretty good cheesesteaks. I don't know if they're like Philly cheesesteaks. I've only been to Philadelphia once, and I didn't get a cheesesteak there. So I don't know.
So you've never been.
Yeah, I went to a baseball game. That's the only reason I was there. But yeah, I love me a good cheesesteak. All right, so I have two picks left, right?
Yep.
Okay, I think I know what I'm getting for both of them. I don't want you to take... I'm going with number 24, a good old-fashioned PB&J. Like, it's boring, it's generic, but a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the right bread and, you know, with the right... I'll tell you how I make my PB&J. It's either got to be nice, soft white bread or really dense wheat bread. Either one. Depends on what I'm in the mood for. I generally have the wheat bread one more just because we don't buy white bread very often because we don't want our kids to grow up to look like me in the stomach department anyway. But I like to do three pieces of bread, and you do the jelly. I like grape jelly or raspberry jam or strawberry jam. I like all three. I grew up just on grape jelly, never had anything else. But I've tried to broaden my horizons as an adult. I think raspberry jam is probably my favorite. So you put the raspberry jam on the outside, or the two outer pieces of bread, and then the inner piece, you put your peanut butter on both sides of that. So it's basically two peanut butter and jam sandwiches, smushed together, and you got to get, plenty of peanut butter and plenty of jelly to the point where it's dripping and making a mess. And again, I have to wash my hands immediately, but, I feel like for as simple as it is and as common as it is, it's really hard to beat a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
What kind of peanut butter is the real question?
Okay. So, I like creamy Skippy. I'm
shaking my head.
Yeah, are you a crunchy peanut butter guy? You know, I can do that okay. Here's my thing. A peanut butter sandwich it's a treat for me. And I told you my feelings on nuts and desserts, Vince?
I think you have, but you can refresh my mind.
I'll refresh your memory because it's kind of applicable here. The reason I don't like nuts in my ice cream or nuts in my brownie or whatever is because if I'm eating dessert and then I'm done, and there's stuff stuck in my teeth, what's stuck in my teeth better be dessert. You know, a Butterfinger, great, because that Butterfinger that's stuck in your teeth, that's just more Butterfinger. You can eat that Butterfinger for 4 hours. But if you eat ice cream with nuts, you finish your ice cream and you got stuff stuck in your teeth, it's just peanuts. That's not dessert. That's almost healthy. you know? And so I don't want something stuck in my teeth that's not dessert when I'm eating dessert. Kind of the same way here with PB&J, because, you know, the jelly, it makes it almost dessert-like. You know, PB&J is not a healthy food. And so I don't want to have nuts stuck in my teeth at the end. Now, crunchy peanut butter is not really the same as nuts. You can, you know, the chunks aren't that big. So I can do it, but really when it boils down to it, I would rather just have creamy peanut butter.
Can respect why, but yeah, I don't even like creamy peanut butter, like if you offered it to me. But PB&J is very underrated, as are, I don't know if you're going to pick grilled cheese, but two things that I kind of neglected after a certain point, and then when I moved to the Bay and was living on my own and, you know, kind of had to spend less money sometimes, grilled cheese and PB&Js were the perfect meal or snack. All right, last one for me. It's tough because there's a lot on the board still.
So you're not even picking grilled cheese? You just threw that in there?
I said, I hope it's not your last pick.
You just said, I love grilled cheese, but not enough to pick
it? I said I loved it you know. I said I learned to re-love it again as someone who wasn't trying to spend that much money.
Have you ever done a grilled cheese with, instead of butter on the outside, doing mayo on the outside?
No, I've heard of it, and I have yet to try it because I don't really make them anymore, but I may have to try it.
It's really good, yeah. I mean, it doesn't change it a lot, but you get a better crisp on the bread. And it changes the flavor just a little bit. I really like it.
Yeah. All right, last pick. I'm going to go simple again, but I'm going to make a modification based on this specific thing that we're looking at. So it's turkey club. I'm going to add avocado and, you know, turkey, lettuce, bacon, mayo. I don't really like tomato, but it's part of this one. And if you add avocado, and that's pretty much best of all worlds for me. You got the bacon, you got the crunch, you got turkey, which is usually pretty good, and you got the avocado adding in, what avocado adds in for me. So I am taking turkey club with the last pick. A little boring. There's a lot more on the board that I would like, but I would lie if I didn't say I got a sandwich similar to that a lot of times.
Do you like it on toast or on bread?
Depends. I usually like it on bread, but if it's served on toast, I'm not upset.
For me, a turkey club has to have lots of mayo, because turkey club runs the risk of being too dry.
Yeah, that's why I said good and, turkey.
Yeah, and the avocado helps with that too. But yeah, I gotta have plenty of mayo. All right, my last pick, and there are a lot of good ones that we're leaving on the table here, but my last pick is a Monte Cristo, number 29. And I'll read you the description. Ham, turkey, Swiss cheese, fried and served with jam. And what it's not quite explaining correctly, when it says fried, basically this is a sandwich made with French toast as the bread. So you've got two pieces of French toast, and between that, it's like a grilled ham and cheese, ham, turkey, and Swiss cheese, with French toast on the outside. So everything's all melty and gooey. And then you dip it in jam. And so it's almost like a breakfast sandwich, but not quite. And so it's sweet and it's messy. It's disgusting to eat, like if you don't like touching things with your hands like me. But it is maybe the greatest experience you'll ever have on earth. I'm trying to think. The birth of my children was cool. Getting married was cool. But eating a Monte Cristo, I think, is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. So that's what I'm going with my last pick, is the Monte Cristo.
You sure do make a lot of concessions to your not touching things that gets messy.
As long as I can wash my hands immediately. Like, that's the thing. And that's why, you know, when you want to talk about things we wish you could have at Dodger Stadium, I would never eat a Monte Cristo at Dodger Stadium, because I can't go wash my hands very easily after that, you know? But at home, or even at a restaurant where I can immediately go wash my hands, or, you know, sometimes, don't tell anybody, but I'll take baby wipes in my wife's purse to restaurants so that I can do a quick hand wash at the table. But yeah, I my life is kind of one big constant struggle about, oh no, my hands are dirty, but this tastes really good.
Not a bad struggle, I guess.
Yeah.
We're done.
You got any honorable mentions you wanted to, that almost made your list?
The rest of the board. fried chicken and meatball sub were the two that I was thinking. But meatball subs, they're always like good, but it's when you find a great one is when it's really elevated. I only really order meatball subs from places that I know where the meatballs are really good. And then fried chicken sandwiches, only because there's so many variations. You can get, you know, the Nashville hot chicken's big right now in LA and kind of moving all over. So that kind of what came to mind with that one. So yeah, those were two. But like I said, other than the cucumber sandwich and maybe liverwurst, every other sandwich on here I'd eat without hesitation.
Yeah, and there I would eat most of these, but I wouldn't. There's a lot that I wouldn't choose to eat if there were other options. Yeah, and the few that didn't make my list, mostly just because they're too close to being healthy. Chicken salad, egg salad, tuna melt, those things. I really like all three of those. But, you know, egg salad is a little tricky because it's got to be good egg salad. It's really easy to mess up hard-boiled eggs, whether, you know, for a variety of reasons. And I don't think is there just a straight tuna sandwich on here or just the tuna melt?
Just tuna melt, I think.
Yeah, you know, but a good tuna sandwich with, I like to chop up pickles in my tuna, chop up hard-boiled eggs, mix it in the tuna, maybe some jalapenos in there too, get a lot of good flavors going on in the tuna. I like that, and a good chicken salad sandwich. I like those.
So. Yeah, definitely a fan of all those.
Another thing on your grilled cheese, you can put mayo on the inside, and that just helps it makes the cheese even creamier. Put a good slather of mayo on each piece of bread on the inside with your cheese between them, and it all melts up together really nice.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to relive my days of being in the Bay and get a grilled cheese going one of these days.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Vince, you have any other final thoughts before we wrap this up?
I don't know if you were going to bring it up, but tomorrow's episode, you will not be hearing us. You will be hearing a panel from the Locked On Network talking about everything that's going on in the real world right now outside of sports. We still haven't personally heard the episode yet, but I'm sure it's going to be a good one. So you guys can look forward to that.
Yeah, and please check that out. It'll be on this feed. So if you're subscribed, like we hope you are, it'll show up automatically. We would love to hear your thoughts on that episode and just in general. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open on all of those, so please tell us what you think of the special episode and all our other episodes. We'd love to hear from you. You could also email us at LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you soon.
And now, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. Have a good one.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!